This episode is brought to you by the Export-Import Bank of the United States of America. As the global middle class grows and technology makes the world smaller, opportunities have never been greater for American businesses to reach customers beyond U.S. borders. EXIM Bank provides American business federal resources to access capital and mitigate foreign risk. No business is too small, and we'll help you export fearlessly. Visit us at exim.gov/entrepreneur to speak with an export business specialist today. Again, that's exim.gov/entrepreneur. And now, on with the show.
At one of our first trade shows internationally, and we were in Munich, and we were exhibiting ourselves, first time we had a booth, and I was super excited about that. And I came back with a bunch of prospective business partners, you know, and I'm in sales, and I sat there and listened to sales pitches, and I got sold. And one in particular seemed great on paper, but we came back and we started doing some due diligence. And luckily at this point, we had started working with EXIM Bank, and it was apparent that there was the possibility of getting dragged through the mud. You know, it was bad credit history or very low credit, and basically advised to run away. And I'd say for me, that's a saving grace right there.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold two businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed. For many companies, both big and small, international expansion is an incredibly daunting task. Having a large accounts receivable with money owed to you from foreign companies causes many of us to lose sleep at night, unsure if these international brands will make good on their invoices. That's where the Export-Import Bank comes in. EXIM ensures companies who are dealing with international clients that they will be taken care of. Not only does EXIM provide an insurance policy for companies, but also incredible knowledge on international expansion. In this episode, we sit down with a Vermont company who makes some incredible socks, darn tough. And we talk about their experience with EXIM, how EXIM helped them expand into tens of international markets. I had a chance to sit down with both EXIM and their client, Darn Tough, together. As I told you, they're one of my favorite sock companies. And we had the chance to talk about how EXIM has helped them expand into multiple markets across the world. I want to welcome everyone to a great episode of How Success Happens. And today, I am lucky enough to have Joe Nocito, International Sales and Business Development Manager for Darn Tough. And it's an incredible company. I'm not going to do it justice, but I'm going to let Joe, you go ahead. Tell us a little bit about the background of Darn Tough.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. It's good to be here. So Darn Tough was born out of necessity. Make no mistake, I wouldn't be in this position right now if it wasn't for the perseverance of our co-founders, Rick Cabot and his dad, Mark Cabot, long before I ever knew about the brand. The Cabot family has been making premium merino socks in Northfield, Vermont since 1978. And the focus of the business up into the late 1990s, early 2000s was private label socks for US apparel and fashion brands, names you'd recognize. And then customers began to source more and more of their socks offshore. So the Cabots watched, unfortunately, their business tumble. They leveraged mortgages, defaulted on loans, near bankruptcy, making socks for other brands. And so a sock knitting know-how and develop a premium merino all-weather sock built for demanding users. And then the icing on the cake was unconditionally guaranteeing them for life, which was something that didn't exist at the time, and taking the chance that users would be willing to pay more for quality. So the Cabots basically bet the farm with a donation of 3,500 pairs of running socks to the Vermont City Marathon in swag bags back in 2004. And I've heard some amazingly incredible stories from the early days. It's not all peaches and cream, but it was a success story right away. And of course, there were challenges. But today, we're in a much different place. Back then, it was about 35 people in the company. And today, we're pushing 350 people and growing.
It's amazing. You guys have done an incredible job. It's really, when you talk about an American success story from a business standpoint, it's so great to see. And most of the entrepreneurs and businesses we talk about on this show have always faced struggles. And one of the areas that give yourself some accolade, one of the areas that has really helped you, and you hit on this, they had issues, how are we going to sell internationally, is really what you've come in to do and help with. And I might say have done pretty well, but can you tell us when you were brought on, what your role was, what your goals were, and how it's going now?
Sure. About 5 years ago, Darn Tough brought in new sales leadership to the family. And that was really my boss. And that was to bring the vision to expand the business digitally and internationally. We have a pretty solid footprint in the US, but that eventually we expect that to plateau. And the next growth phases are internationally. And prior to that, we only had a few international distributors, mostly opportunistic sales at the time. There was no strategy behind it.
I could imagine when you came in and from where you are now, how many international or destinations, countries are you working with from when you started?
So it was only three or four when I started. And today we're selling into 25 countries. And it's been an amazing ride. You meet a lot of really great, amazing people along the way and get to experience a lot of different cultures and ways of doing business that you wouldn't expect here in the USA.
And I assume you probably have a ton of mileage on your Mileage Plus account. Is that true?
It's true, but not really accumulating any these days.
Yeah. How have you been able to expand or have you had to put that a little bit on hold this past year with COVID because of obviously COVID and not being able to travel?
It's bittersweet. I spent the last 3 years traveling 25-30% of my time developing and building relationships with right now about 50 or so sales reps that are directly responsible for our success outside of the USA. And there's a thrill to making a pitch to a key account or a celebratory toast at the end of a day, a hard day's work. And there's the food in the international markets. So I love that. And I miss that. But I'd say we're really fortunate we were able to pivot. It's virtual. Everything's virtual now, from trade shows to sales meetings to cocktail hours, of course. And it did slow down our pace, I'd say, on getting into new markets, because that really is so dependent on a handshake and a face-to-face relationship. We have done it successfully in one new market, but it's not the same. So right now we're leveraging the relationships that we have built over the last 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's so hard. And I know so many entrepreneurs who love to do business and want to do business in other countries, and not even just virtually. And even when you're there, just shaking hands or meeting people, it's kind of scary just from that standpoint. You said it's different cultures, different food, which is great, but different ways of doing business. And I know for a lot of companies, I think that held them back. Did that prior to you coming on board and really expanding, was that one of the holdbacks at Darn Tough?
That's certainly one of them. I mean, we originate from a small town, Vermont, but I think it takes strategy to export internationally. Sure, we can knit the socks, we can market the socks, you put the right strategy, you can sell the socks. But what's in the end really keeping you awake at night? And for us, it's if you send something halfway across the world, now you're waiting for your customer to pay an invoice. And that is, I didn't want that liability on my name attached to the sales that we were building. So extending terms and getting paid is super important. So I'd say our biggest fear and the highest risk was our receivables. And for this, we partnered with Ex-Im Bank to support our export business and safeguard non-payment.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm scared sending an invoice to a guy in Jersey, to be honest with you, and getting paid. It's a whole nother story when you're dealing with international expansion. And you mentioned Export Import Bank of the United States and kind of what they do and how have they helped you in terms of your business and feeling secure, feeling confident? Because like you, the worst thing as an entrepreneur I find for myself is it's great you did the business, you delivered the product, and then you're waiting on payment. Because if you don't get payment, the business doesn't work.
That's right. Now, I would tell you, 4 years ago, we didn't know how to do a credit check for a corporation outside the USA. It was hard enough to do it for a company in the USA. So we had no idea if a company was trustworthy. What do? You ask for references, you check their social channels, hope for the best. So and we even had a few times we requested letters of credit, and nobody wants to do that to buy socks. LCs are complicated and time consuming. And inevitably, if we couldn't fulfill the order to the fullest amount, just created complexities. So in one case, it delayed a transaction to Asia for several months. So by leveraging the services of Export Import Bank, they handle a lot of different things for us that really give us peace of mind in exporting.
Yeah. Was there, I know, I mean, it's incredible. And I want to talk to the export folks who will bring on, but you know, was there ever a time where it was just too risky a deal? Was that how you started to work with them, or you were just having too many deals out there, receivables that you weren't collecting? What was the impetus to start working with Exim?
Yeah. So, you know, you start to sweat. We start to grow the business and you see the receivables growing. And, you know, now I'm up at night worrying about it because it's not my money at stake. It's somebody else's too. So it's even worse. We were at one of our first trade shows internationally, and we were in Munich and we were exhibiting ourselves. First time we had a booth, and I was super excited about that. And I came back with a bunch of prospective business partners, you know, and I'm in sales, and I sat there and listened to sales pitches, and I got sold. And one in particular seemed great on paper, but we came back and we started doing some due diligence. And luckily at this point we had started working with Exim Bank. And it was apparent that there was the possibility of getting dragged through the mud. You know, it was bad credit history or very low credit, and basically advised to run away. And I'd say for me, that's a saving grace right there.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many stories like that from people I know, obviously being an entrepreneur and interviewing entrepreneurs for a living, where they get sold. We all do. I'm in sales, and the person seems perfect, and they're capable. And how many people then go through with it, and then you realize it could be the end of their business. So I want to bring in the superwoman and super business that has helped you, and her name is Ursula Vangzunovic, and she is a broker account manager with Export Import Bank of the United States. And Ursula, just listening to Joe, I'm like, sign me up here, because I'm trying to do a lot of international business. And like, I've always had that hesitation about doing business overseas. And it just seems like you guys provide this incredible backing where you can feel comfortable. But give me an idea. Tell me a little bit about the business. And then you guys have an incredible history too.
Yeah. So let me just make one really quick comment. Joe had mentioned that they expect their business to plateau at one point, and the opportunities will be international as well as e-commerce. And that's kind of where many of our U.S. companies are at. You know, 95% of the world's consumers are outside of the United States borders. And so we don't want our U.S.-based companies to turn away from those opportunities in order to continue to grow. So Exim actually was created in 1934, really during the Great Depression by the FDR administration. And it was back then that the bank was created to get the economy going again, and hence our name, Export and Import. Right now, though, you know, shortly after the bank was started, the focus really was on providing support to U.S.-based companies for their exports. And in the early days, what we were known for was financing the Burma Road, the Pan Am Highway, to provide post-World War II financing. Fast forward to today, 90% of our work is really with companies like Joe's. It's with small family, privately owned companies. We really work with all size companies though. And our goal at the end of the day is to help companies grow their business so they employ more people here, whether that's exporters of products, of tangible goods or services, that really doesn't matter to us. We're just looking for, is there value in job creation here in the United States? And then my role within the bank is working with our brokers. So we have third-party companies that really, this is not your property and casualty broker that provides business owners property insurance or cybersecurity. These are niche brokers who understand trade credit. So US Ex-Im Bank is one provider of trade credit insurance, but there's a whole slew of private companies that provide trade credit insurance domestically for your Jersey transaction, as well as internationally. So we work with them because they're going to be the day-to-day service providers to a company like Joe. And Joe works with Meridian Finance Group, which is one of our top brokers and a great company. And really, you know, my job within the bank is to help those brokers kind of understand, you know, what our services are. But at the end of the day, we're not competing with the private sector. We're here to just fill a niche where we can't, where the private sector might not be able to.
Yeah, I would say my Jersey example, I might need to use you guys even more than the deals I'm doing out in Australia right now. So I will certainly keep that in mind. But, you know, you just explained, I love the fact that this was, you know, your company business was started really during FDR's term and New Deal. And yet there's so many companies that might not know about this incredible, like I never really knew about it. And first I started hearing and I knew we were going to be doing this podcast. And I was like, this is an incredible service for so many companies because I have been in the position before where I just didn't want to risk it. Like we got inquiries from outside of the US. And how, when that happens, do you sit down with the client? How do you explain to them how you work? If I was, let's say, a client of yours right now and I was selling products and I have a deal with someone in Australia, what do you come in with and how would you explain it to me?
Yeah, so really what we're offering is insurance on receivables. And what we're telling our customers is that, look, let's check out the buyer. Let's not make any assumptions, right? Joe gave the example of the one in Munich that turned out to not be so great. But by the flip side, until you do a little bit of background, it might be that the customer that you have in Australia is actually a larger, well-known entity. And so we're just saying, look, let's just do a little bit of background checking. Let's see if whether or not they're credit worthy. And if they are, we're going to provide you coverage so that you can sleep at night and you can be competitive in the terms that you offer. There's no reason for building relationships. LCs, you know, letters of credit have their place. If you're making custom equipment, long lead times. But if you're trying to build relationships with distributor dealers and this is going to be ongoing, you're going to try to support them by offering them terms. But of course, you know, a sale's not a sale till you get paid. And so we're hoping to be the bridge, essentially, between what the exporter needs and what that importer needs. And that's that insurance policy, basically. And we're doing, you know, we're going to say it all depends on how much credit we're talking about, but it's pretty basic. It's a reference. It's maybe just a credit report. You know, when we're talking $500,000 and greater, then we're going to say we'd like to see the buyer's financial statements. We'll take them in a variety of different languages, but really what we're trying to do is taking the foreign risk off the table so that if, you know, it would be as easy as selling, you know, maybe not to Jersey, but maybe Indiana.
Indiana seem like good folk. I'm sure, you know, they're probably paying their bills now. With that said, I have many relatives in Jersey, but in any case, I do want to ask you in terms of how you help these businesses. And I can't help but think like how many entrepreneurs now must be listening or how many entrepreneurs never got to where Darn Tough got to because they never heard of Ex-Im. And I know so many, including myself, entrepreneurs who've just said, forget it, focus here because of this one exact reason, right? So it's such a blessing to know you guys exist. You're out there. Can you tell me though, I know there's different types of plans for different companies, one that Darn Tough might have. Can you give me a little background on the difference between kind of how you work with companies and the opportunities that you offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So variety of different ways that companies can come to us could be like Darn Tough, where they say, look, we're not going to take any foreign receivable risk. If we're going to sell internationally, we want coverage on those receivables. And so many of our small companies come to us exactly like that. And we have I call a Cadillac policy for small businesses. Cadillac just kind of taking away a majority of the risk. So we're providing 95% coverage on the receivables. There's no deductible. We want the company, the exporter, like Darn Tough, to have a bit of skin in the game. So they do have 5% risk, and that's fair. You're the one who's shaking the hands back in the day, or, you know, elbow bumping right now. And so you know who it is, who your customer is. So we want you to have, again, some skin in the game. But really what the purpose of the insurance is giving you, once we have a policy in place, we're now taking a look at who's your customer, how much credit do you want extended out to them? And then the benefit of the policy is not only that you can sleep at night and you're offering competitive terms, but for a lot of our companies, they come through to us through their commercial banks, because their banks are looking at the fact that their portfolio of foreign buyers is growing. And that bank takes a look at that and says, we can't really do anything with that. That's not something we're comfortable with from a collateral standpoint. And now you wrap insurance around it, whether it's Ex-Im Bank or private sector. And all of a sudden that becomes additional collateral that Darn Tough or any other company could use to boost up their working capital, you know, as they're continuing to grow. So it's kind of a 1-2 solution, sleep at night and then potentially access to additional financing. The way that Darn Tough came into us, they started out with kind of an intro policy, one where we do a little bit more of the due diligence. And then over time, we've given back them authority to make credit decisions. Because once they've gotten some leverage and some traction, you know who that customer is. You don't need to come to us with every single new sale. We're going to give you parameters for what do you do if it's a $50,000 credit? What do you do if it's a $300,000 credit? And then the other piece that's always important is that we've counseled our companies that, look, you've got to have partners. You've got to have an accountant that knows what they're doing as far as international. You've got to have an attorney, right, that's going to help you write those distributor agreements. You also need to partner with a foreign freight forwarder, rather, somebody that's going to provide you control in terms of the export transaction, because control is definitely part of ensuring that you get paid.
Yeah, no, that's pretty incredible, because when you think of it, and I thought of it, you know, okay, you guys insure the receivables, that's great. But it's amazing the knowledge, and especially you guys have been around so long, the knowledge you have, and I'm sure these contacts and connections that you must offer companies like Darn Tough just when you're starting with them. And it sounds like that's an invaluable service that you're providing to companies.
We also partner with the U.S. Department of Commerce, kind of a sister agency, as well as with local and state economic development agencies, because those folks are also doing a lot of the legwork and helping U.S.-based companies find agents and distributors. And then we're coming in and saying, okay, Commerce, whether it's the state or federal, helped you find this buyer. Maybe they provided you some background information on this distributor. And now we're going to ask for a credit report, potentially some financials. And so it's building that knowledge of who that customer is. And one thing I should mention is that some of our customers have two different philosophies when they use credit insurance. Some of them say, you know what, I don't want my customer to know that I'm insuring these receivables because I don't want them to think I mistrust them, or I just don't want, you know, anyone to know that I'm doing this. Others take the approach that, nope, I want them to know that absolutely it's the U.S. government. So if you don't pay us, Uncle Sam is going to come after you. And you know what, our approach is whatever works for you. You might have a different, each customer you might treat differently. At the end of the day, our relationship is with Darn Tough. It is not with the foreign customer. We're assessing whether or not we think that foreign customer is creditworthy, but we're sharing that information just with Darn Tough. It's not until and unless Darn Tough were to have a non-payment situation that we would get involved. So it's really their call as to whether or not they're going to share that information. I've heard, you know, anecdotally from some of our clients that they hold back that information until the customer is like 60 days late. And they're like, oh, by the way, we're insured by U.S. Export Import Bank. And all of a sudden, that invoice gets prioritized in terms of payment.
Yeah, fantastic. It's funny how the check probably shows up the next week, which is great. I love the fact that it's up to the client, because there are pros and cons of telling a client we have Ex-Im behind us. And again, sometimes, and just talk to Joe about this, but I'm sure he has clients that you don't want to tell. There's clients you do want to tell. Joe, are you pretty evenly split, or how do you really go about letting your customers know you're working with Ex-Im?
Yeah, because Ex-Im is kind of in the background like a ninja, we do both. We use it as a relationship building tool when possible, because we can basically say, hey, we can give you 60-day terms. and you're covered for X amount. And it might seem like it's that we're fronting that. And we are to an extent as well. So it's nice to have that in our back pocket. But to what Ursula said, if we need to, we tell somebody, you know, we're an open book. So we tell somebody if they need to pay, or we have to hold shipments because they're maybe over a credit limit, or they're behind, you know, and it's not, at that point, it's not our decision. It's somebody else's decision.
All right. I can tell you're a modest guy, and I know that. But how much has this international expansion from when you started, when there was three, right? And now I guess 25, how much of that international expansion has really fueled the growth behind Darn Tough? And I know you have your bosses and founders, and I know you're a modest dude, but how much of that has really helped you, the fact that you've grown these markets to really take Darn Tough to the next level?
It's still in its infancy as far as I'm concerned. 4 years in a business that's 14, 15 years old. I think we have a long way to go. It does take an investment in planning and faith to put yourself out there into the international world. I mean, ultimately, we do this because it builds brand strength. And they did a lot of the heavy lifting in the early years. And now they're excited as I am to see expansion into the international world.
Yeah. What does the future look like for Darn Tough? And do you anticipate continuing the relationship with XM? Can it grow? What's the future?
The future is bright. You know, we're super thankful for everybody's support. 2021 appears to be a banner year, forecasted to grow about 30% overall, which is amazing. And, you know, like I said, we're very fortunate there. And we will definitely be continuing to use XM Bank. You know, it's we were just discussing internally, one of our next steps is to actually request some credit line increases because our customers are doing better, and we want to seamlessly deliver on their orders next season.
Yeah, it's a great feeling to have. I can only imagine, you know, it's as a sales guy myself, it's so hard to get the orders, right? And then it's to have to worry about the receivables and getting paid. And it's like, you're just psyched, wow, we're doing all this business. So it sounds like it's just been such a great relationship that you've had with XM. And Ursula, I wanted to ask you, going back to starting with Darn Tough, is that the normal process where you'll go in with a company and maybe start, you know, not with the Cadillac program, but you'll start working with them on certain things? And can they work with you kind of a la carte to start?
Absolutely. I should have mentioned that earlier on. So I had started to say there are companies that say we don't want to take any foreign risk, but then we have companies who have a lot of foreign relationships, have been doing it a long time, feel comfortable, but maybe they're entering a new market. Like they're entering a new market and they don't want to take risk with a particular new customer in a new country. And so they can come to us on a one-off basis. And we're very transparent. All of our pricing is online. And I should have mentioned, like, you know, our Cadillac policy, the cost of this insurance is just over 0.5%. So if you think a $100,000 invoice costs about $550 to insure, and in case of non-payment, your claim payment is $95,000. There's no collection expenses. You know, you have the 5% co-insurance. There's no deductible. So $550 for a $95,000 check is pretty good.
That's
return.
Well, let me tell you, from being in business and being able to insure at that level, I can see why Darn Tough has stuck with you for a long time. I mean, you're not fortunately giving up, because there are a lot of these companies that I knew about before knowing about you guys that will come to you and like when they give you the numbers of insuring your receivables, or it doesn't make sense. You rather take the risk. It sounds like you guys, because you were formed as US backed, that you guys are really here for the American businesses.
That's exactly right. We're a federal government agency. At the end of the day, we are here to support made in USA products or services. So that's the advantage that we have, and where we kind of come in at the front end, helping those small businesses. And then probably, you know, Darn Tough's going to grow to the point, maybe we're not going to be the best fit anymore from a cost standpoint, because we're not necessarily the least expensive, but we're not trying to be. They're going to be able to work with Meridian Finance Group and figure out that, you know what, there's a private sector carrier that's going to be more competitive from a pricing standpoint, and that's where it should go. And then, you know, they'll graduate sort of out of us and move over to the private sector. And hopefully the fact that we've taught them to a degree how to do international credit checks. That's in part preparing them for going to a private company. And, you know, again, we're not here to compete. We're here to help U.S. companies grow and support their international sales.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, in terms of, you know, what you're talking about right now with the fact that you guys aren't here just to, you guys aren't here just to get business. You're really here to educate. And I love that part of it. And it seems like you guys do a great job with that. And Joe, I wanted to ask you the darn tough, I love American generational stories. And you talked about your founders and knowing how these businesses work and within generations, it sounds like you guys and the owners are really having a lot of fun now growing this business and they're into it, not just trying to keep it where it was. Is that the case in the culture right now at Darn Tough?
For sure. That's kind of my daily motto. Keep having fun, because if it's not fun, then why are you doing it? You know?
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously with just building up. And of course, when you're selling a lot more and you're doing more business, you're definitely having more fun. And I'm sure, Ursula, there's numerous companies, and I just wanted to make sure that you help, that are in all different types of areas. Can you just give me like a range of the types of businesses XM handles? Because it's not just, and I know you alluded to this, it's not just manufacturing and products, right?
Right. Absolutely. So I'm in Chicago, I'm in the Midwest. So see lots of widgets and different types of capital equipment, pharmaceutical equipment, but architectural services, our engineering services. We had a company a couple of years ago in Southern Illinois that sewed costumes for like Renaissance fairs, and they were wow, exporting to Germany. And it was this really small business. And they were like, well, I'm not risking. But I mean, I'm talking, it was like under 10 grand in terms of, you know, invoice sizes. And that's where I think we have a huge advantage, because you're paying for this premium, based on the invoice size. It doesn't really matter if it's $500 or $500,000. We don't have any limitations. The only limitation is that, you know, we want a majority of the product or the service to be coming out of the United States. So we understand that there's foreign inputs. And for us, the product, if it is a product, has to be 51% made in the United States, or it's got to be serviced by US-based personnel. So we have a company, I mean, it runs the gamut from consumable items that are made here in the United States to capital equipment to grains, agricultural foods, you name it.
Could you do service businesses as well?
Yeah, we do. We do services businesses as well. Like I can think of a client that does oil field services and had done a lot of work in Mexico. But really, as long as it's done by US-based personnel, software services, technology, as long as it's, again, done by US-based personnel and majority of the labor is in the United States, we're all over it.
I love it. So Joe, for the next couple of years, I know you're a sales guy, what's your goals for international, doing more business internationally and companies? Do you have a set goal, 50, 75? I don't want to put the goals too high. And I know your boss is, you probably want to sandbag it a little bit, but how far do you think you can go having XM behind you?
Yeah, put me on the spot.
And this will be recorded, and I'm sure they'll listen to it.
Exactly. Well, you know, our exports are 250% over where they were just about 3.5 years ago. So if I can achieve that same metric again, then I think I'll get a pat on the back.
Yes. And I would say must admit, it sounds like XM has been your secret sauce along the way.
Yes, definitely. I would consider it the sharpest tool in our toolbox. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Well, listen, I want to thank you both. I love the story of Darn Tough, American made, generational business. I love the fact you're using an American government organization that you found that so many people don't know about to really fuel that growth. It gives us a lot of promise in terms of being here in the United States, and especially how you guys have had success this year and with the economy recovering. So I really wanted to thank you guys both. This is really how success does happen.
Thank you for listening to our special episode. This episode is brought to you by the Export-Import Bank of the United States of America. As the global middle class grows and technology makes the world smaller, opportunities have never been greater for American businesses to reach customers beyond U.S. borders. EXIM Bank provides American business federal resources to access capital and mitigate foreign risk. No business is too small, and we'll help you export fearlessly. Visit us at exim.gov/entrepreneur to speak with an export business specialist today. Again, that's exim.gov/entrepreneur. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com. or on Twitter at Robert Tuchman, that's RobertTuchman, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business, or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur Magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuchman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.